Starting off with chapter 1. Now, we're still dealing with the thought about cults and false religions and different sort. And I'm just on the scratching the surface on these because we're going to deal with these individual things. And that we've got a lot of things. It's not actually what I call cults in the Baptist church, but they're cultic. And there's a lot of things that Baptists practice and preach that's contrary to the Word of God. You got about as many different Baptists as you have ice creams. That's right. I was over in South Carolina, dealt with the Free Will Baptists. I don't know whether you've ever dealt with Free Will Baptists or not. Some of you have, some of you maybe not have. I call them Free Will Baptists, but we had them in that area. You go to another area and you'll have Southern Baptists is dominant. And they got their problems and so forth. You go to another place and they're independent Baptists. And you got Northern Baptists and Southern Baptists. Of course, I done said that. And you got American Baptists. And you got, what is it? We got that in independent. I'm thinking about the way they believe. Charismatic Baptists, you got them. And they're all in that. And they just believe different things. And then we've got those who believe that God has picked some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. And we got them. Got the hard shell Baptists. We got all kinds. And we're going to deal with some of that. Especially some of the things that we're doing right in the middle of the church, what people believe. Baptists believe about everything. We want to read this morning in Galatians chapter 1. Now, I want to notice this today, and Paul's given us a good little thing here to look at. We need to look at Paul, the Bible said, an apostle, not of men. Now, he wasn't an apostle of man. He said, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He's given the credentials, as Paul always does in all of his 14 books, except Hebrews. He don't start off giving that in it. But in verse 2 said, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Now he's given us who he's writing this to. We're not doing an in-depth study of Galatians, so we're not going to spend much time on it. I just want to point out a few little things. And so these are the people that are in Galatia, the believers. He's writing to the church of Galatia. Verse 3, he gives in his introductory speech to every church or every place he's been, he gives this grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And he always goes grace and then peace. He don't never say peace and grace because grace brings peace. And he tells us where it comes from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he begins to exalt the Lord, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Now, Paul's laying a groundwork for these Galatian believers. He's fixing to pounce on them like a lion. He's fixing to give them some strong doctrine in just a moment. But right now, he's trying to remind them who they are. And I'd do the same thing for you this morning. We ought to know who we are. And we're from the Lord and we're his people, his children. And we need to remember that. He said, who gave himself for our sins. He's telling these Galatian believers that he might what? Deliver us from this present evil world. And we are living in a present evil world. There's evil in Paul's days. More evil today in our day. And God wants to deliver us from this present evil world. He was going to do it when he comes. But he wants to deliver us now. If we don't, we're going to be under bondage to the world. I don't want to be under bondage to the world. That's one thing God sets us free from. Bondage of sin, bondage from self, bondage from the world. God takes that away from us and gives us deliverance. He delivers us from it, takes out that bondage. He said, present evil according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, Paul gets into the meat and the message of what he's writing this book for. You're going to find out what he's given this book, this letter to the Galatian believers. So Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. In these other words, he's done said, look, the Lord's the one that's delivered you from the world, from this present evil world. He's the one that gave himself for you. But I marvel at you. You accepted that. You believe that. But I marvel that you're so soon removed from it. I saw a little cartoon in the last couple of days that come back to my mind when I was reading this. And it's about two cows. Stick cows. You know what stick people are. They're just figures. And somebody put this together. Here's two old stick cows. And they're down at the water's brink. Down at the lake or down at the river or whatever it is. And there was something stuck up in the water by the edge. And had little balloons around their head. I'm talking about a little circle that had words in them. And the first cow standing there said, it's an alligator. And the second cow said, it's a log. And the first cow said, no, it's an alligator. And the second cow said, no, it's a log. So the first cow reached out with his hoof, tapped it on the top of it, and he said, it's a log. And the second one said, it's an alligator. They switched. And he said, it's a log. And the second one said, it's an alligator. So the first cow jumps up and jumps on its back. And when it does, it comes out of the water, grabs him, takes him under, and he's gone. And now it's back up. So another cow comes down. So the first done seen that standing up at the edge. And he said to the other, it's an alligator. He said, no, it's a log. The first one said, no, it's an alligator. He said, no, it's a log. And the thought about it is this. That's the way people are. They swallow what they hear. Take everything. Amen. And I have a tendency, and everybody does in this building, taking what we want to hear. But we got to apply it to the Word of God. We got to look at that. So what I'm trying to say is, sometimes we can be strong and firm in what we believe, but we can be persuaded. And that goes back to what I was trying to talk about a while ago, that he read out of the book of Romans there about being persuaded. And we need to be persuaded that we believe what we believe and don't let nothing, no one or anybody change that. Now, there's a lot of things that I'm not fully persuaded on in the Scriptures. Now, if you're different from that, you'll have to tell me. Because you probably know it all, but I don't. I'll admit right quickly, I don't know it all. I don't know much. But I'm persuaded on a lot of things. There's some things I'm persuaded on. And I'm persuaded on what I believe. Now, here are these Galatian believers. They had been taught the truth. They had accepted the truth. They had believed the truth. They had, as Paul left them, he left them and they were believing the truth and holding to that. But in a little course of time, I don't know how, what space of time, Paul comes back and, or he's writing a letter back to him and said, I marvel. It's amazing. I'm troubled in my mind about how soon you've been removed or how soon you have removed from the truth. And you haven't accepted or held to the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But what you've done, you went to another gospel. You've made something else up that's not real. And he goes on to tell, but which is not another gospel. We'll look at that in a minute. But we see so many that get changed. Have you ever seen people that one day believes one thing and next week they believe something else? Now, there's times in my life that's happened because sometimes I've believed something and then I found the truth where I hadn't believed it. I mentioned a few of those things maybe yesterday in our Bible study down here. There's some things that I used to hold to the thought of me. I believe one I mentioned yesterday is I used to preach that the Bible said husbands love your wives, but don't say nothing in the Bible about a wife loving a husband. And then one day I run across it and it's in the Bible. So once I had to change my idea and get the right, and that's the Word of God. And so we find that in the Scriptures. And a lot of times that's happened. But have you seen some that believes one thing this day and tomorrow something else and next week something else and 2 weeks later they believe in something else? And if you don't see them, I remember not too long ago, I've mentioned this a time or two, and this has bothered me. The reason I guess I mention it so much is I had a man in one of the churches I pastored, and he amened me and loved me, and me and him went out and knocked on doors and visited. He had presence with God. I'm going to tell you now. He had a good, sweet spirit. The Spirit of God controlled him, directed him. He had a good testimony, had a good witness. Went a lot of people to the Lord. And he loved to witness and knock on doors. And he'd come pick me up. We'd head up the road, knock on doors. And I've seen him stand in the snow, blowing what I call blue snow, witnessing to somebody. And just things like that. We spent time together witnessing. And then I was down there at his place about a couple of years ago. Ever how long it's been, Brother Virgil, when we got that equipment and brought up here, and he called me on the phone and he said something about that. I said, well, the Lord, you know, soon to come. It ain't going to be long the Lord comes. He said, why, it may be years before the Lord comes. And I said, you think that? He said, yeah, it's been a long time, and that it could be another 100 years. Boy, that's really encouraging to me. Who'd like to see the Lord come today? But anyhow, and I thought, well, I'm going to keep preaching it just like it's coming today, and that's the way I believe it. I believe it's closer now. But I thought, now you didn't believe that years ago when I preached to you. You've changed your mind. And I don't want my mind to be changed on anything. I want to be steadfast in what I believe. If anything, what I do believe, I want to get stronger in what I believe. Amen. I don't want somebody to tell me it's a log when it's an alligator, and then I turn around and get bit by the alligator. So we look here, and he says here, Paul does, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed. We've got a lot of people that are so soon removed. You believe that? They believe, and I believe what they're doing, they're not searching the truth and looking for the truth. If you want to know it, you can find it. The truth is hard to find. It's hard to find. I'm talking about in our modern day. We're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what the Lord said would happen in these days. And people and even false prophets and false teachers can present it in such a way that, have you ever listened to somebody and thought, boy, that makes good sense. And I took it and listened to it. And sometimes it ended up being, and I compared it to the Scripture, found out, I'm glad they taught me that. That's an inspiration. God's given me something I didn't know before. That's a help. But then on the other line, some come in and they'll teach you things and you say, that don't sound real. There's a little question mark in there. If you've got a little question mark in there, there's the Spirit of God trying to get you off of that. Amen. But when they're right on the Word of God, it resonates. Now, I know you don't know what I'm talking about when I say this, but I've been in the electronic world for years. I love electronics back kind of when I worked on things. And it was amazing to me when I was young how that you could speak words. Now, in this modern day, you know, everything is so technological now that nothing surprises me. But back yonder years ago, you could sit at a microphone in a place and run radio waves out over the signal and go out through the air, and you'd be 40, 50 miles away and you pick up what they're saying. That's strange, isn't it? And that's technology, but that's nothing now. People pass that off by the side. But I used to think of all that, how great that was. But they bring it down. But if you're going to send those signals through the air, you've got to have something to pick it up. You can't just say, notepad, pick that up for me. And they got what they call resonating circuits, or resonance, what they call resonance. And in those, if you ever looked at an old radio, it's got little square, got tubes in it, or it's got transistors in it, or ICs in it, but it's got little square things called transformers. Those transformers are tuned to a certain frequency that's coming out over the air. When you dial that, it tunes in, picks up that signal that's coming through the air. And I'm just giving you a rough thing of it. But what happens, it's a coil and a capacitor together, and you tune them to where it picks up. And when it picks up that, that's called resonating. Or it's in resonance. In other words, it's getting on the same. You got to tune it to the same frequency that's coming in. And when you get in the Word of God and you study it, and the Word of God begins to deal with you, and the Spirit of God begins to deal with your heart, guess what happens? God resonates it in your mind. You're on the same frequency that it is, and you can accept that. Now, that's a crude illustration, but that's basically what everybody works off of Bible principles, and they don't really realize it. God has come up with all this before. He came up with it before they ever split the atom. How do you think, or why do you think man's got the wisdom he has to get it? God, it ain't something they've went out and figured out that God didn't know. God laid it out. He's just been laying it out there in crumbs. And we've been picking it up and work on it. So somebody else comes along and adds to that, and somebody else comes along and adds to that. And God's given minds to men that they can comprehend these things. And I'm saying, but the instrumentality he's given us this morning from the Spirit of God is to resonate with the Word of God and take it. And so that's what I want to do. I want to be on the same frequency. Don't you? I want to be on the same frequency as the King James Bible and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So I learned. Now Paul is coming on, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I mean, I'm surprised that you've done switched and jumped ship, crossed over the fence, got you something else. You've forgotten Christ and picked up your own ideas. Another gospel. And then Paul comes on to say, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Anything that's not the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is a perverted gospel. Because you've got to mix something with it. It's all grace. Did you see it? Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And so they're perverting that. They're going to something else, and it's not the death, the burial, and resurrection. It's the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and baptism or something. Amen. Add that to it. And they'll add something else to it. And that's perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's happening. This is happening in a plain church. This is not something that the cult Satchander was pulling in. He's pulling in something here, telling them that their mind has went to something else. And the devil's the instigator of every bit of that. Why do you think we have so many different Bibles, so-called? The devil wants to give so much confusion. If he can get you to thinking, and I talked about that Wednesday night, just a little bit, not much, on the imaginations of your mind. And he works on the imaginations of mind. Then in verse number 8, he said, but though we, talk about himself, and all the saints of God, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. I mean, when you're accursed, brother, that's something. You're on the bad end of God. You're on the low end of the totem pole with the Spirit of God. You're not in very much good harmony with God when you're accursed. God says, I don't want my gospel perverted. He don't want that changed. Thank God for the goodness of the Lord. Ain't that what you say? I give God the praise and the glory. And he said, if anybody comes along, an angel from heaven, me, or anybody else, preach any other gospel than what we preach, because we preached you the truth, amen, without any error. And that's why it's important to find out you're getting the truth. I hear a lot of preachers, and you know, I appreciate preachers that tell me something that I don't know, and if it corresponds to the Word of God, I accept it and run with it. I don't have a bit of problem with that. I'm not jealous of preachers that know what I don't know. Because if they sit under me long enough, they'll learn something from me. Somewhere, surely, a little country boy can show them something. I've been in churches a lot of times, and I've gone to churches and passed them. And back when I was younger, let me just give you an illustration. Let me just give you a testimony. When I first started preaching, I didn't have open doors. I wasn't raised in a big, fine facility of a church that, you know, was prominent. It was just little country churches like ours here. And you didn't make names. Matter of fact, we had 17 preachers in the church I was sitting in. Our poor old preacher, I'm glad I've never had 17 preachers sitting under me. I'd build a fire on them. They can get out and get going, get doing something. Ain't that? It's not good for 17 preachers sitting in one church. And they thought everybody ought to, you know, I was included. I thought, this is my Sunday to preach. Maybe he's going to call on me. And I was trying to stay prepared. But sometimes a preacher would call and say, come preach tonight. I'd say, how many you got? He said, oh, there's about 7, 8, 10. I said, okay. If he had told me 50, I'd have been scared to death. Got a little bashful boy. Didn't understand that. And so I'd go preach to him, and I learned, I got a lot of experience in some of that. But as the days go by, I wanted to get to where I wanted to preach to more people. Amen. And so I've learned a lot of things, and preachers have even cut me down a few times. When I get too big for my britches, the old saying is. I've told you that some of us straight. They weren't mean to me. They just preached the truth. And I looked at it and I said, swallowed real big and said, God changed this. Seen that, hadn't you? But they got me on the straight and narrow. So we've been there and seen that. And people believe this. And out of them 17 preachers, it's amazing at the different beliefs that them preachers had. So somewhere you got to get it straight. Got to get it from the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit's taught me these things. And sometimes I've had to dump some of them and pick up what's right and do a little adjusting. I don't want to get to the place like these big preachers have done, said I learned better. You know, I learned better. But now I don't want to get to the place I learned better. I want to learn more. I believe I got the basic fundamentals right, don't you? I believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the basic fundamentals, and that's what I'm going to preach to the day I die. Some of the other things we can talk about and work around. But he said you perverted the gospel. What did they do? What kind of gospel were they looking at? They were trying to bring the law back in. They were trying to let it be things that they do by attending to the law. Remember, the grace of God is in play here. Paul's been preaching grace, and they're going across the country and around the land preaching grace, 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 like we are today. But there's some come along and thought it had to be circumcision, offering of animals, and sort of those sort of things, and keeping the commandments. You'd be surprised that the Baptists today believe that the whole key to this thing is just keeping the commandments. And can I remind you today that you can't keep them? Can I ask you, has anybody in this building ever kept them without breaking them? Amen. And then the Lord come along and made the cheese a little bit more binding. He said, he summed them up. First and great commandments, love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, mind, body, and spirit. And to love thy neighbor as thyself. And he added on top of that, now how can you do that? Because if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and there's no other, nothing that comes, there's things comes between you and God. There's things that come between me and God. I have to fight that constantly. You may not, but I do. And I do it not knowingly. Next thing you know, I'm involved in something. And then the Lord has to remind me, hey, look, you're spending too much time with this. You're going to have to get out of this. Quit that. And get back to where you need to be. And if you don't, you're going to pervert the gospel. You're going to get a different idea. Or you're going to get cold and slack. And when you get cold and slack, somebody else can teach you something and tell you something that you'll believe. Is that right? Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Yes, sirree, with all my heart. Now he says, and we're going to look at that. Now, he said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He says it twice. You don't have to say it but one time, make it right. But anyhow, he said, let him be accursed. So now he goes down in verse number 10 and he puts in his little part here to get them to remember and recognize. He said, I asked a question. Sometimes you can answer things with a question. For do I now persuade men or God? Paul said, do I persuade me? Am I trying to persuade you or am I trying to persuade God? God don't need no persuading. He's it. He's the answer. He's the hope. Paul said, I'm trying to persuade men. And he wants them to see that. He said, or do I seek to please men? He asked another question. Do I seek to please you? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant. I seek to please Christ, but I also seek to persuade you. And when a preacher gets up to preach, that's what we're doing. I'm seeking to please the Lord Jesus, exalt him. That's why a preacher sometimes has to say things that's rough. Say things that people don't like. Any preacher you got to be careful. Any preacher ever tell you something every time and it's always smooth and it's always likable and you always love it, mark him off. There's something wrong with him. He's well thought of, and if he's well thought of, he's on the wrong end of this thing. A preacher's going to get you somewhere down the line. You ain't going to admit it, but he's going to skin your hide sometimes. I've been skinned many times. And then the Lord, he's got a way of doing that. You know what happens when you skin the flesh off of you? Air hits it, and it don't feel good when the air hits it. And then every once in a while, you know, the Lord will put a little salt in it. Salt in an open wound. What does it do? Hurt? Yep. Amen. My wife got burnt one time, and I was always taught that Epsom salts solve everything, soaking Epsom, but you don't do that with a burn. And she found that out after she listened to me. And I ain't never done that again. But I'm telling you, sometimes God puts salt in what he tells us, right? Okay. Now, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I wouldn't be doing my job, is what he's trying to say. See, chapter 1, the book of Galatians, is a tremendous chapter. You need to go to it a lot. And Paul is trying to explain, too, in this chapter, how he is what he is. I've always believed and taught that Paul was the 12th apostle. You may not believe that. I count him as a 12th apostle. Somebody said it's Matthias. They drawed straws. Now that's Baptistic. You look in the book of Acts, you find where in the first chapter of the book of Acts, they found out where you got to have the Robert's Rules of Order. Now, you don't understand that, do you? Y'all remember going to school in the Robert's Rules of Order where, you know, they got a little order of how you do everything. I make a motion. I vote on this. The yeas and nays. Where you find that in the Bible? But they started it in Acts chapter 1. They said, we need to replace old Judas. He's gone. And we're just 11. Now we got to get the 12th one. And so they went out and picked out one, Matthias, I can't remember the other if he even told the name. And they picked them two, and this is what they said, Lord, show us which one these two are. Have you ever done things like that? Pick out something, and then you say, Lord, now show us which one. And neither one of them was right. And they drawed straws, or cast lots, the Bible said. And so that's what they're doing. And, one made a motion. I make a motion, it's Matthias, and another made a motion the other. And they said, all right, now, all in favor of Matthias, raise your hand. All in favor of the other, raise your hand. And guess what? Matthias got it. Now, what do you find in the Bible that churches are to be prepared like that? And you see, Baptists have taken there's a lot of churches you can't get nothing done unless you got to go through all that. There's some churches, they don't have it as much now as they used to, but some churches, when I first started, they'd have monthly conference meetings. They would call it conference. And they'd come in and they'd get up there and the preacher said, all right, we're going into conference. I hear a motion, we have conference. And then none say, I make a motion. One say, I second. All in favor going into conference, raise your hand. Or stand up. Sometimes it happened to stand. And then they said, okay, first order of business is we need the reading of the minutes of life's meeting. Now that's how Baptists do it, you know. How many of y'all been there? You've seen that, hadn't you? All right. Where's that scriptural? Give me some Bible on it. And I'm an odd Baptist. I am. Just odd, I guess. But that'd be the word to say. But here's what happens. Then they say, well, he reads the minutes later. We said we're going to do this. We said we're going to do that. Now, do I hear a motion that we accept the minutes of life's meeting? They said, I make a motion. None said, I second. We vote. All right, next business is there any old business? And so they bring up old business. I mean, I know the form. I know the plan. I hadn't done that in years and years and years. Don't intend to do it anymore. But I know what to do. All right, then you'll be, yeah, we didn't paint the barn last week. Last month we said it was going to. What's happened? Well, does anybody can give us an indication of what's happened? The barn not being painted? Well, we just didn't have the time and all. Okay, then we want to keep that on record and let it be known we need to get that barn painted for next month. All right, then the next one comes, got any new business? Yeah, got new business. I think we need to buy a new trash can for the ladies' bathroom. What do we do here? I just go get a trash can. That's what I do. We need a trash can, we'll get a trash can. Can't find a trash can, we'll cut a box and put something in. That's right. But anyhow, they do that. And they go through it. And then they say, well, and then here's where they find. Well, what we need to do now is the broom's been sitting in the right corner over here for 2 weeks or for the last month. Actually, it's been sitting there for 3 or 4 months. I think we ought to move that broom. It's don't look good, and we'll put it on the other side. Broom moving business. All right, how many is in favor of that? They vote. And that's what happens. And so you got hung in that end of these years. And we see in that. And so you see what happens? You just take the book of Acts and start seeing where they deviated from the Word of God right off up front. Matter of fact, I'm going to do that with you. We're going to take that. I started to do it this morning. But I want to take the book of Acts and see where you see how they started off and where they just on their own. And churches, most of us in our churches across the land, and be honest with me, you know I'm telling the truth. We just do because it's what we've been doing. It's what we've always done. And it's hard to get us out of the rut that we're in. And it's hard to get us to the place that we want to follow the Spirit instead of what we've always done. We can put a picture on the wall and honor a mama. But if there comes a time, and it might, that picture mama had been put up there in memory of needs to be moved. I thought of this the other day. Victory Baptist Church is doing some remodeling. They've been redoing their church. And they had on us, I don't know how many rows of pews they have in there, 2 or 3. I don't remember how many they had. 2 rows. But on one of the pews on one end, they had a plaque on there that somebody had bought that pew when they put them in memory of my wife's daddy. Now, she's done left the country when they took it out, but they called me and asked me if I want that. Well, I said, well, I'll take the plaque off, but my daughter wanted the pew. She didn't have to go get it. So me and the two boys went and got it and brought it over there. And I said, where do you want to put it? She said, oh, I want you to keep it, Daddy. I ain't got nowhere to put it. And I thought, gee, thanks. And it's in my way now. And best thing done is take. And so I'm saying, any like that can upset things. Now, some of the family members, all of them's done gone now, but they'd have still been alive and say, you ain't moving that pew. I paid for that pew. They'll split churches over that. But there may be a reason down the road that it needs to be moved. Amen. And we go on and on and on. You see, little silly things is what causes. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's not the basic fundamental things that upsets the church. It don't take much. It's just like we're sitting like powder kegs. And we got a fuse and somebody done lit the fuse. And we're fixing to explode any time. Hey, I don't want to be like that, do you? Amen. I've lived that way too long. I don't want that. Praise God. Church is God's property. Let's let God take care of it. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of prayer. Being able to lift you and exalt you, have your own name lifted up in the midst of us today and have your own way in the midst of the service. Touch every heart that comes. Lord, I pray you give us understanding and wisdom and open mind and open heart to receive the things of God. And may we lift you and exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.